There's no reports of damage after a tsunami warning this weekend. And Haines Elementary receives a distinction. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. There were no reports of damage or injury in Alaska after a 7.7 magnitude earthquake triggered a tsunami alert throughout the Pacific this weekend. The earthquake struck Saturday evening offshore from Haida Gwaii, formerly known as Queen Charlotte Islands, in British Columbia. It triggered tsunami warnings and evacuations along the Pacific coast, including in southeast Alaska. In Sitka, authorities didn't evacuate anyone, but encouraged harbor residents to head upland for a while. The Haines Glacier Bear Drama Debate and Forensics team was in Sitka on Saturday and spent the night at a home on high ground. Haines Harbor Master Phil Benner said Saturday evening he recommended those with boats in the Haines Harbor check and tighten their mooring lines. But Monday he said there wasn't any damage and he didn't notice any wave or surge in the Upper Lynn Canal Saturday. No Alaska communities experienced surges of more than 6 inches. In British Columbia, the surges were closer to a foot, and parts of Hawaii experienced waves of about 2 feet. Unfortunately, for many people hoping to find up-to-the-minute information, the West Coast and Alaska Tsunami Warning Center's website was intermittently down for about 2 hours Saturday evening. According to the center, there was a configuration problem with the web caching company. That problem has since been fixed, they said. The center suggests that if the site is down again in the future, people try an alternative site, tsunami.gov. Haines Elementary School received an honor recently. It was named as one of 2 Title I distinguished schools in Alaska and one of 61 in the nation. Title I schools are those with 35% or more of its students considered low income. The Title I Distinguished School recognition honors those schools that have outstanding student achievement and have closed achievement gaps between student groups. 10 schools in the state were invited to apply, and 2 were chosen from the applicants. Delta Elementary School in Delta Junction was the other Alaska school recognized this year. Haines Elementary was selected because of high achievement among all students and improved test scores among special education students, according to Commissioner at the State Department of Education and Early Development, Mike Hanley. In the past 2 years, assessments among Haines Elementary special education students have shown a 28% jump in reading scores, a 32% jump in writing scores, and a 31% increase in math. Elementary principal Cheryl Stickler attributes much of the success to the students and the staff who help extend the learning day.
Just this morning I was walking up the hallway and a fourth grader was talking to his brother, and his brother says, "Where are you going?" And the fourth grader says, "I'm going to fast forward." And he was just hustling up the hallway, and I said, "Thank you so much for that perseverance and that hard work." Before 8 o'clock in the morning, a fourth grade boy is here to get some help with some reading skills.
Several programs and resources have also been important in affecting the test scores. 3 years ago, the school put in place a program called Fast Forward. Barbara Pardee is a Title I and reading coordinator for the school and said the program helps with cognitive skills like memory, attention, and sequencing.
And so all students in second grade get this program, and it starts with helping them build those basic skills, and it's called language.
The role of literacy coordinator also came about in the last few years. That position is held by Jeannie Kitayama, who also helped spur the creation of the Haines Children Reading Foundation, a local chapter of the national group. Other programs like mandatory homework help and reading assistance have also helped boost test scores, Pardee said. About 15% of the student population qualifies for special education assistance in some subject, according to Principal Stickler. But Pardee notes that statistic used to be 20%. Now the school focuses more on intervention at an earlier age.
These things and these, all the ways we are approaching learning in our school are helping decrease the amount of students. Mm-hmm. We have something called Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, and Tier 1 is the general population, and we do most of our interventions now at Tier 1 to prevent students from needing Tier 2 and Tier 3.
Stickler said besides being an honor, the recognition will allow the school to pursue more grant and funding opportunities to continue improving programs and scores.
It will also help us pursue grants because we can say, here are the interventions that we know are working. Here is our plan to sustain the intervention. And Funding Foundation, here's how you can help us take this even further.
A group from Haines Elementary will travel to a national Title I conference for all distinguished schools in January. Stickler said there, the faculty and staff will be able to learn about programs that work in other schools and share what has worked for the Haines Elementary School. The race between Republican incumbent Bill Thomas of Haines and Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins of Sitka is shaping up to be one of the most watched state races of this election. And more money is going into the House District 34 campaign than any other race in Southeast. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld takes a look at some of the details from the Alaska Public Offices Commission campaign finance reports.
Changing legislative boundaries combined Sitka with much of the old Southeast Islands House District. That's the one that includes Haines, Craig, Metlakatla, Hoona, Angoon, and some other small cities. State campaign finance reports show incumbent Haines Republican Representative Bill Thomas in the lead, with about $83,000 in contributions. That's about 40% more than his Democratic opponent, Sitka's Jonathan Christ Tompkins. Together, they've raised about $130,000, making this the most expensive Southeast race. Thomas lost Yakutat, Skagway, and Cordova from his old district, but he gained Sitka, where half the new area's constituents live, including his opponent. He says that means a more expensive advertising campaign.
You know, we didn't lose any newspapers. We ended up gaining more newspapers and bigger towns and other things that we haven't done before, so it's going to be spendy.
This is Christ Tompkins' first legislative race, so he also needs to raise a significant amount of money to make his presence known. His approximately $48,000 campaign war chest is far behind Thomas's, but he says it's not as large a gap as it seems.
What you're really seeing is the advantages of incumbency in that you can raise $40,000 before you have an opponent, and that's the reason why there's this cash discrepancy. If it started from June 1st, which is when we filed, we'd be up a few thousand.
Democratic Party organizations gave Christ Tompkins $8,000. State employee unions, teachers, and other political action committees contributed another $4,000. Together, they add up to about a quarter of his overall campaign contributions. Christ Tompkins acknowledges he has less to spend in the House District 34 race, but he says his cadre of volunteers is giving him more bang for his buck.
We have a really grassroots-oriented campaign, and it's basically people talking with people. Which we feel is also, you know, the kind of politics we believe in.
Christ Tompkins points to a higher percentage of district contributions than Thomas, many of them relatively small. The Democrats gotten money from the Southeast Alaska Saners and the United Fishermen of Alaska, and he's claimed more donations from individual commercial fishermen since he filed. Republican Thomas, a gillnetter, longliner, and shrimper, disagrees.
He claims he has more fish money. But then you look at his sublines and it's been raised since the general campaign. I've raised almost 11 grand from the fishermen over the 2 years, but it depends on when you report it. So he's playing words pretty good.
Campaign finance reports for the full fundraising season show Thomas with more donations from individual fishermen. The Haines incumbent attracted more than $17,000 from his party's and other groups' political action committees. About a fifth of that came from the GOP. The rest included labor organizations, oil PACs, dentists, contractors, and the hospitality industry. Overall, PACs and the party contributed about 20% of Thomas's campaign funds. That's a larger total, but a smaller percentage than Christ Tompkins. Those figures do not include executives or other employees of those groups or companies, so they could be larger. Despite his incumbency and higher campaign war chest, Thomas thinks of himself as the underdog in the race. Among other things, he has knee problems that limit one-on-one campaigning, a major part of Christ Tompkins' strategy.
He was able to bang at all the doors this summer because I was fishing and I don't think he was working. So big difference in lifestyles.
Christ Tompkins says he did work, though he wasn't paid, managing a pair of nonprofit programs that bring college students to Sitka to volunteer and share their skills. As the campaign wraps up, Thomas says his main job is to convince voters of the power of incumbency. That includes his budget writing duties as co-chairman of the House Finance Committee and his record of funding community projects. Kreis Tompkins says he'll bring a new approach to representing the new district and will take different stands on education and other parts of the budget. And he's close to his goal of meeting the majority of its population.
To be a representative, I think it's really important to know who you're going to represent, and this door-to-door component of the campaign in every community, knocking on every door that's possible, has been a central component of the campaign.
Thomas says he's met with his district's leaders and other constituents during his four terms in office, and he's reached out to Sitkins during this campaign. The most recent finance reports, released earlier this month, show a significant part of the $130,000 or so Kreis Tompkins and Thomas raised was spent on travel, including room and board. That total is more than double the funds raised in the Southern Southeast House race between Republican Peggy Wilson, Democrat Matt Olson, and Independent Kyle Johansson. It's almost a third more than the Senate District Q race between Republican Bert Stedman and Democrat Albert Kukesh. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Lila Carey and Ed Schoenfeld for their help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.